Now, welcome to the intro call for Inner Freedom, which is a spiritual support group for people with chronic illness. And if you are listening to this recording, just settle in, and I encourage you to just allow my voice to flow through in a way that where you don't worry too much about grasping onto all the meaning of all the words. If you can allow your mind to relax and receive what's being said here, my suspicion is that things will land in an easier way. And don't worry if you understand all of it. You will understand what you need to understand. First, I just want to call in and ask you to call in any seen or unseen protections or guides. We're in a very, it feels like a very precarious time in this world of ours. And it can be easy to feel unsafe. And so whatever that means to you, and if you don't know what it means, if you aren't in the habit of calling in protection, then you can do a little bit of kind of fake it till you make it kind of thing. Just request protection from wherever it may come. And know that you are safe here. Just here, just now, you are safe. And from this place of inner safety, I want to suggest that we spend a minute just sending good wishes, prayers, blessings, whatever word works for you, to all who suffer in the world, all who are afraid, all who are patently unsafe. And as we go on this journey together, in the next hour or so, let's just keep all who suffer somewhere in the backs of our minds and in our hearts. That any benefit that we may be receiving here might be felt all over the world. And just spend a moment grounding in your body. Just feeling all of the little and large sensations that tell you what the shape of your body is. Areas of pressure, density, tingling. Feeling the firmness of whatever you're sitting on, pressing against you. And the air flowing over any skin that's exposed. If you happen to be experiencing any pain, sending a little extra love to that area. And in the center of this field that we call my body, there are all the sensations that we call breathing. Just allowing the awareness to rest. More specifically in those sensations, the expansion and contraction, either in the belly or the chest. Just exactly as it is, no need to change anything. Or perhaps feeling the air passing through the nostrils or over your upper lip, that expression of breath. It's feeling this gift of breathing. This process that this body knows how to do, whether we are aware of it or not. This process that sustains our life minute to minute. Without having to direct or control anything. You may be aware of sounds drifting through, or thoughts passing by. just allow them to be in the background as much as possible. Coming back to the breath, this primary complex of sensations of life. And maybe take two or three deeper breaths, those deep welcoming breaths, welcoming life, welcoming this moment. And from this perhaps more settled place, again, let's send peace, prayers, blessings to all who suffer. Wishes for people's fears to be eased. And then allowing your consciousness to come back into the present, into this room where you sit or lie down. Opening your eyes if you've had them closed. If you feel like you want to move your body a little bit, maybe stretching slightly, bringing in a little movement. But if you can, as you listen, you can allow like 70% of your awareness to remain in your body. We have a tendency to live in our minds in this culture, and a lot of this process that I'll be shepherding us through in this group is to find the safety to drop into our bodies. And for many of us who have a chronic illness, that's a task. We don't feel safe in our bodies. We may feel like we've been betrayed by this place that is supposed to be safe. And it's perhaps painful or doesn't have the energy we'd like it to have. Or we experience symptoms that are, to put it mildly, perhaps unpleasant. So what I'm encouraging us to do is to allow there to be the possibility of safety in this body in a very gentle and skillful way. You probably heard that there's a saying that there's a difference between pain and suffering, and that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And that's really a lot of what we'll be doing in this group, is kind of talking about whatever pain or unpleasant sensations, complex of sensations that we may experience. And where is the pain something that we can't necessarily do anything about? And where is our suffering coming from, perhaps our resistance to our experience? And that needs to be approached very skillfully, particularly for those of us that experience a fair amount of pain. We don't just dive into the pain. I'm not necessarily encouraging that, but I am encouraging just a gentle approach. Because our minds can tell us that something is too much and try to blot the whole thing out, or sink into it in a way that is not helpful, one way or another. And so a lot of the skill set that we'll be building in this group is about how to approach the edge of our resistance, the edge of our pain, right at a point where we can meet it gently. And also to have the skill of where we can consciously check out if we need to. So some of the practices, I mean, there's a lot of whole slew of spiritual practices, and you may even have tried out quite a few of them. And I generally categorize them as state change practices and state acceptance practices. So a lot of meditation, a lot of spiritual practices are state change practices, and they can be really skillful. They can be, you know, you think of mantra practice, you've probably heard of, perhaps you've done repetition of a mantra that really helps the mind get stable and concentrated, and can really help to shift a negative mind state. It can also help to distract in a way from if we are feeling physical pain or mental pain. And that has a value. It has a great value. And some of the practices that I'll be introducing are indeed state change practices, because I think that there's a place for them, particularly if you deal with physical pain. It can be really skillful means to do some kind of, and these are called concentration practices usually, to do some kind of a concentration practice that is designed to change your state of mind. Because we can get into such a spin of negative mind state for good reason, totally understandable when you're dealing with a lot of unpleasant experience. So those practices, they're designed to help the mind settle. So we tend to, as I was saying before, we tend to live in our minds in this culture, in our Western society. We are head-led, and we kind of glorify what the mind can do, right? We think that everything can be, we can think our way out of everything. We can, if we can just figure something out, we can fix it. And that has its limitation. So our minds are amazing tools, and they can't fix everything. And they can't fix our illness. And I'm not suggesting at all that we don't go to our doctors, that we don't apply our mental faculties to taking care of our bodies. Absolutely, we should do that. And as most of us know, going to our doctors, doing what kind of self-care we know to do, does not always take care of our symptoms. So what do we do with what's left when we have done our good self-care? We've taken our medications or our supplements, and we still experience pain. And we still experience fatigue. We still experience brain fog. We still experience whatever the whole range of symptoms that you may experience when the medication, the supplements, and all of our good self-care doesn't take care of it. And then we're left with, how do we live a life that really feels like it's worth living? And our minds may want to step in at times and say, I can't. I have a teacher that distinguishes between the soul and the ego. And that the soul is sort of our higher self, the way he describes it. It's the part of us that it's personal. It's not the big God self. It's a smaller self that feels personal to us and inhabits our body, if you want to think of it that way. And I realize this may not work for all of you. You may have different kinds of belief systems and such, but hear me out and see how it rests with you as one way of sort of describing how we as humans live our lives. So the ego, he describes, so the soul says yes. So the soul came here to experience life in all of its myriad, amazingly, infinitely various permutations, right? And the soul doesn't only care about pleasant experience. The soul also is interested in neutral and unpleasant experience. It's just curious. The soul is like, what is it like to live a human life? And our ego, it's part of our personality, the ego tends to say no. So where the soul is yes, the ego is no. And the ego, its main goal is to protect itself, which is perfectly understandable. And when you're ill, part of what the ego wants to do is protect itself from pain. It doesn't want to experience pain. And so part of what we'll be doing in this group is gently holding the ego, because we can't get rid of the ego. We don't want to get rid of the ego. The ego's there for a reason. The ego has a really important purpose, right? But we don't want the ego to run the show. So a lot of what we'll be doing is finding skillful ways to hold the ego with all the love we can muster as it screams no. And find ways to help the ego feel safe, right? And practices can do that. As I was saying, those state change practices, they are ways of helping the ego feel safer. Because if we can calm our mind down, the ego can stop running quite so strongly, right? So the state acceptance practices, you've probably, I can't imagine you've been in this culture very long and not heard the word mindfulness, but mindfulness is basically the main state acceptance practice. There's a few others that I'll be introducing that are a little more refined than mindfulness. But mindfulness, even so, could probably describe what we'll be doing. So the idea here is that if we are constantly chasing after state changes, then we may skip over some really important things that are happening. There is a possibility, and I would almost say an inevitability, but at least I will posit that it's a possibility, that your suffering, your pain, your illness, and even if we're not just talking about your illness, we have other kinds of suffering. We all have childhood trauma of one sort or another that we may still be in the process of working through. So however suffering presents, there is a way that to heal in that requires going through it. It requires completely embracing the suffering. It's a doorway. The suffering itself is the doorway to freedom. And that can sound very strange. I understand, you know, particularly if you feel a lot of physical pain, it can feel like, forget that. You know, I need it to stop. And I get that. I totally understand. And that's why I say we do this skillfully. We don't just rush the door, so to speak, if we're seeing our suffering as a doorway. Because we do have to, it's very important to respect the ego and its resistance. We don't necessarily give in to the ego and its resistance, but we respect it. And so we move slowly. And that's why we do the state change practices along with the state acceptance practices. Because if we go only for state acceptance when we're dealing with a lot of pain, we do have the very real danger, risk, which I'm sure many of you have already experienced, of kind of spiraling into depression, spiraling into some very difficult mind states that are hard to break out of. So I'm speaking to your ego right now and saying that we hear you. We really hear that you have needs and that you need to feel safe. And so I want you to hear that. That is my concern, that I want you to feel safe. And I also want you to fully experience your life, and that there's a way to do that. It is really possible to fully experience all of your life, even the parts that feel like you just can't. Do it gently. Do it with a great amount of love. We ask for help. And I know there may be some of you hearing this that are, you know, that identify as atheist or at least agnostic. And I respect that too. But I do want to just introduce the possibility that there's something larger than our ego that can hold us. I just want to let that sink in a little bit. There's something bigger than you that cares deeply about you and your happiness. And giving the suffering that you may have and may still be experiencing that may be hard to hear. It could feel like you've been betrayed. And I just want to suggest that there is a mysterious process that we can go through when we drop into our bodies, even if our bodies feel unsafe, but drop into our bodies in a gentle way. That even pain can end up being a doorway to bliss. It rarely happens overnight, but it can happen. And I can assure you that I have experienced it myself. And it's a process, and it takes practice. I want to talk a little bit about something called spiritual bypass, which you may have heard about, but I think it's worth touching on. That when we do particularly a lot of state change practices, it's possible to skip over parts of our human experience that are actually really, really vital for us to experience. And most of the religions of the world, let's face it, are kind of have an edge of spiritual bypass to them. They're kind of ascension. It's like, let's get out of the body. Let's not, you know, engage in any of these messy human emotions, you know, the whole idea of monasticism, of eschewing having relationships with whether the opposite or the same sex, but having relationships, love relationships. The body is not clean. The body should be ignored, you know, ascetic practices. That's really deeply laid into our culture. And that's not what I'm pointing to here. Right? So these state change practices, which can kind of lead us to leaving the body behind, they don't tend to work very long, right? You may get some temporary relief, but eventually, if you can't keep the practice up, the body will lay claim to your consciousness again. So the path that I am suggesting and that I will be bringing practices in to lead us along is much more about how do we approach actually dropping into the body and really experiencing everything that it has to offer us in a way that's skillful so we don't get flooded by too much experience if we deal with a lot of pain, right? So we just, again, you keep hearing me say the word gentle. It's a gentle process. And some of that is just because we have been battered. We've been battered by our pain. We've been battered by our minds. Often, if you've bought a lot of the attitudes in this culture, you may have some hidden or not some so hidden parts of your mind that blame yourself for being ill or wonder why it happened to you. Did you deserve it in some way? There's so much in this culture. I hope you don't experience this, but many of us do. So I just want to highlight that. That can come in as like, if I had done something different, it would be different, right? And even on the other side, we can end up feeling very much like victims where we wonder why it happened to us and why our doctors can't help us completely. And we can become very angry. We can either become angry at ourselves or angry at the world. And while all of that is understandable, given what we learn from our culture, what I would say is it's not really helpful. And I am not in any way suggesting that we not take action if we think our doctors have not taken good care of us or have not heard us. That we not take action if we feel like we've been harmed by pharmaceuticals, that we not be activists towards better health if we know that what has happened to us didn't have to happen for some reason. All of that, or that we deserve better care. But what I am suggesting is that that kind of activism is more effective when we're coming actually from our body's experience rather than being directed by our minds. So please know that I am not at all suggesting that we become passive passengers to our lives, because that's not at all what I mean. I wouldn't be here putting this group together if I thought that we should be passive passengers, because we all know how to do that, right? So we'll be in a process of learning how to move toward yes. And that's yes to everything. And this is, there's a great book by a woman named Tara Brach that you may have seen. I think she wrote it in 2003. It's been around for a while. And it's called Radical Acceptance. And I highly recommend it. What she teaches is right in alignment with what I teach. And I would add to that, it's radical acceptance, but without resignation. It's a really gentle settling in, accepting what is true, whatever is true, and using that as a starting point to moving forward with your life. So that's generally talking about what we'll be doing, various practices that are all centered around that theme that I've been explaining here. And the structure of each session will generally be, we'll set a container as we did in this one. I will probably suggest that people call in their guides and their guardians. And that will be our starting point. We'll do some sort of a check-in that will be, I will not record. I want everyone's privacy to be protected, and I will be using these recordings for future groups and also to be available to people who can't make it to the live recordings, to the live sessions, then the recording will be available. But I just want you to know that you can share freely that I am recording this on my computer, not through Zoom. So anything that you share will be kept private within the group that is present in the moment. So there'll be time for checking in, which is really important to creating the group bonding. And that how much you share in that will be up to you, but I will be offering that time for us to share what are our symptoms? What is our relationship to our illness? And how is that shifting through the practices of the 12 weeks? And how is the meditation going? An opportunity to ask questions, all of that. So that will be off recording. And then I will be offering every time some kind of a contemplation or teaching, just as I have tonight. I'll talk for a while and give you some things to think about, some things to bring into your meditation, some concepts to integrate. And then we will do some guided meditation. I may switch the order of those, depending on what topic I'm touching on. And I may again turn off the recording and have some time for us to share about what the contemplations, what the teachings have brought forward for you. Perhaps if there's something that's come up through some process that you would like to share, just to give an opportunity for that. Again, not recorded. And then we will close with a dedication of merit, which I will close it with tonight as well. And that will be the recordings, and that will be posted on the website. We'll have a special recordings page for the Inner Freedom Group for you to listen to at your leisure. And if you can't make it to the live recording, the live session, obviously you can listen to the recording later. And then we'll have a Facebook group, and that it will be a private, actually I think it's called a secret Facebook group, and I encourage people to show up on that and share what their process is there, particularly if you can't make it on the call. It would be great to see you there in the Facebook room. I also, while we will not be talking about a lot about our medical situation, because this is spiritual support, I am assuming that everyone has some kind of support on the physiological level, whether that's an alternative practitioner or a group of alternative practitioners or a medical doctor or some complex mix of all of that, which many of us find ourselves doing when we have complex illnesses. I'm assuming that you're doing something, but that's not necessarily what we'll be focusing on here in the group. However, I will want to start at least one thread on the group, because it becomes important to us. Again, it's one of the things that our egos need to be able to chew on, is like, what kind of treatments are working for you? So I will have at least one thread active in the group for those of you that feel like you want to talk about that. If you want to talk about supplements that you take that work for you, if you want to talk about a doctor you've run across that is just amazing or what have you, I want there to be some space for that as well. But I do want it to be contained, and I also want people to feel very much empowered to say no thank you if to advice, because as we know, when we get a diagnosis, all of a sudden everyone and their brother and sister and mother and uncle has advice. So that thread will be there if you want to engage. And if you do not want to engage, then I want you to feel safe that no one is here to give you medical advice. So know that I'm sensitive to that. And I will be keeping my eyes peeled for that as well in the group. And in addition to that, I am also offering with the group a session with me, a one-on-one session with me that we can do either by Zoom or by Skype. Or if you're in Portland and you want to meet in person, we can also set that up in person. So just know that that is available to you at some point during the 12 weeks. And I encourage you to take advantage of it. I will not be chasing you down to make you have an appointment with me. That's not my interest. I just want you to know that I am available for a more in-depth conversation and or perhaps doing some guided meditations that feel more pertinent to you and your personal situation, because we're not all the same. So I hope that you will take advantage of that, and I would look forward to that. So that's all that I wanted to cover in the talking part of this evening. I think that I will turn the recording off for a minute and have a little discussion with those of us that are here live and see if there's any, perhaps some questions, anything else that is glaringly being missed that people want to know. And then we'll do a guided meditation, and I will close with a dedication of merit. So I'm just going to turn the recording off, although it will just be a blink of an eye for those of you listening to the recording, because I'll come right back. Well, the question, there were a number of questions. I think that how I want to approach the question that I feel like I just heard with from those who are live here on the call, kind of circled around what is healing and this idea we have that we're headed for a cure, which of course we would all love a cure, right? But many of us have conditions that there isn't really a cure. There's management of symptoms. We may have some kind of a condition that can go into remission. But we then can go through a little bit of a roller coaster of sometimes our symptoms are extreme, and then sometimes they are not extreme, and we actually have somewhat normal lives. And that itself can set up, a situation where we are working with low-level trauma, right? We are traumatized by the onset of symptoms, which may have been pretty extreme for a lot of us. That itself can trigger childhood trauma, which many of us have experienced. And we may then have the experience of having doctors not believe us, because a lot of chronic illness isn't really acknowledged. It's not really on the medical, in the medical world's range of experience of reality. Which doesn't mean we're not experiencing symptoms, and it doesn't mean that we're not ill. But we can feel dismissed. We can be made to feel a bit like we're crazy, that it's all in our heads. And that all leads to a certain kind of low-level or high-level trauma. Then we may experience a lessening of symptoms, but we're still left with that kind of feeling of, when is the other shoe going to drop? When is this virus or this spirochete or this parasite or whatever it is, if that's the source of our illness, when is it going to get active again? So we really are learning to be in relationship with our body as it changes. And it was also brought up that if we're living with our chronic illness long enough, we're also going to be dealing with aging. And aging can exacerbate the symptoms of a chronic illness. So how do we dance? We're really learning to dance with our bodies, with perhaps a pathogen in our bodies, or a part of our bodies that has been damaged and is likely not going to be healed, not going to be cured, I should say. Because I make a distinction between curing and healing. And I think that it's worthwhile just going into that a little bit. We'll talk about it more in the group, but you know, I've done quite a bit of reading of Stephen Levine, who has done a lot of work with death and dying. And while most of us are not going to die of these diseases, we are still coming up against the edge of our mortality. When we have chronic illness, we are able to see like, oh, this body won't just do what I think it should do all the time, right? We're coming up against our limitations. And one of the things that Stephen Levine wrote about once was the difference between curing and healing, and how sometimes when people would do really deep spiritual work around whatever their illness was, sometimes they would experience a spontaneous cure. And it was always mysterious, miraculous, whatever you want to call that. All of a sudden, someone with, you know, metastatic cancer would have a deep spiritual experience, really do their practices, come to some very deep understandings, and they would go into this spontaneous remission. And the cancer would never return, right? And of course, that's what we all hope for, right? That's the miracle. We always like, maybe if I really do this deep spiritual work, God will come down and heal me, right? That would be great. But it doesn't happen to everyone. And there was no way to tell as he was doing this, really it was research because he worked with hundreds of people. There was no way to tell someone was doing similar practices when one person would be cured, and it would happen, and maybe someone else wouldn't be cured. But generally, they all experienced what they would call healing. And the healing really was what I've been circling around here, which is to say that their relationship with their suffering changed. And they would come to a deep sense of peace and acceptance without resignation, with peace, with a deeply held knowing that they were held in love. Be one way to call it. And sometimes that would affect the body, and sometimes it wouldn't. So maybe that's enough said about that. We can come to learn to trust our process. And that is what I have also learned in really taking on. And I had a strong spiritual practice before I had my chronic illness, so there was something already in flow. But I do experience that my deep spiritual understanding, however it has come, and I don't pretend to be on some pinnacle of enlightenment, but there is a flow of spiritual understanding that feels pretty deeply intrinsic to me now. And that, I believe, does affect my health. And it could just be because it affects my stress level. I'm able to manage my stress. When I become anxious, I have tools to use. And being ill can make you pretty anxious. It can make you pretty depressed. So having tools to bring to bear can only be for the good. I think I will leave the talking there. And I will close with a little bit more of the meditation that we started with, which was focusing on the breath, mindfulness of the breath. And know that I will be expanding on that throughout the 12 weeks. There are various practices that I will be introducing. The mindfulness of the breath is a concentration practice. It is a way of helping the mind settle. And you may notice as you do it that your mind is not settled. And just know that that's normal. Our minds are by nature active, particularly if we don't have the facility to help them calm down. And that facility is something that we learn, particularly in this culture when we are encouraged to have very active minds and very active lives. So we're starting on mind training for those of you that don't have a consistent practice. We just start with something that is very dependable, and that's the breath. As I was saying when I was guiding the meditation earlier, it is reliable. It is always there. We don't have to think about it. We just breathe. And so it is something that when we get lost in thought, when we may get lost in fear, in anxiety, in feeling like we're in a black pit, or just accelerated thought patterns that are like the hamster wheel running, we can always drop into the body and find the breath, because it is something that will happen until we die. And it's not important whether the breath is shallow or deep. At this point, we're just simply connecting with a physiological process that is reliably happening all the time. Now, before I go into it, I also just want to express that for some of you, the breath might feel challenging. And if that's true, if you find that you are dropping and following the sensations of the breath and you feel trapped, or you feel anxious, or you feel suffocated, I mean, for some of us, those experiences can come with dropping into the body really in any way. So if that happens for you, then transfer your awareness to the sensation of hearing. So just follow sounds. That can feel a bit more spacious. So for some of us who have had trauma, our bodies can feel that unsafe, that really experiencing any of these intimately felt sensate experiences is too much. So again, if that's true, then bring your attention into your hearing. And even if that feels like too much, open your eyes and allow your attention to be on the formation of sight, just of shapes, trying not to identify too much of naming what you see. So just know that that's available to you if the breathing feels problematic in any way. In other words, I give you permission to ignore me. So just starting with a few deeper breaths, just as a way to ground in the body and get connected with those sensations. And allowing the eyes to close if they're not already. And again, feeling the general shape of the body, all of those little sensations that translate in the mind as, this is my body. And there in the center of this field, we call my body. Are the specific sensations of breathing. Expansion and contraction. rising and falling. If you find the mind is carried away by a thought or a sound or another sensation, just allow the mind to come back into the breathing as soon as you notice. No judgment needed. Just allowing the process of breathing to help the mind calm down as much as it's able. And if you would like to continue after the recording ends, I encourage you to sit with the breath as long as you like. And I encourage you to take some time every day to do this, sitting and breathing. Just allowing the heat of the mind to cool down. May any merit or good virtue that we have accrued by this work we've done today be dedicated to the benefit of all beings in all realms, in all of the times. We practice not only for ourselves, but for all sentient beings. May all beings know peace. May all beings know freedom from fear. May all beings be happy.